Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. You remember him saying it over and over again during his ministry of teaching. He said, "How long shall I suffer you?" You know, it's hard to work with people who are scolio. It's hard to work with people who are unreasonable. It's hard to work with people in your day-to-day who are Christians you expect more from. It's hard to live day-to-day and deal with yourself. People say, "I can't forgive myself. What have I done?" Well, that's right. You've probably maybe pushed some envelope somewhere and you're a little humiliated by it. But the reality is everything that takes place in our lives brings us to the place where we are. And we can say with David, "You have made the bones which you've broken to rejoice." And you can understand the whole dynamic that God takes all of the ingredients of your experience in your life and he mixes it all together, making all things work together for good to them that love God and that are called according to his purpose. You have that going on. It's your story with him. And he is the hypogrammus, and he says, "I've called you to show forth." And again, verse 21, "Hereunto were you called." Called, show forth, called for glory, called to show grace, called to suffer. You say, "I don't like any of those things because where's time for me? Where's me time?" Go to McDonald's, okay? They got me time over there. Go eat something that's really gross. And enjoy it, you know, because that's what they're giving you. And it really kind of fits, right? Me time isn't all cracked up to be sometimes. Did you look at the front of your bulletin? Look at it real quick. Look at the front of your bulletin. It says, "The work of righteousness shall be peace." And there's a nice chair by the lake. Do you know what's interesting about the believer that maybe you don't perceive as often as maybe you should or would like to, is that everywhere you go, if you've entered into his rest, you have ceased from your own works because you've entered into a perfect, completed work, redemption. You're sitting in a chair everywhere you go. "Strive ye," Hebrews says, "to enter into the rest." What's the rest? The rest is the perfected, completed work of Jesus at Calvary. It's already taken place for you. And if you will enter into that rest, then the ministry of the righteous will be peace for you. You'll just be telling them, "It's good. Having a little party over here. Having a little party. God's good. I got a word. He loves me. Best thing I ever heard. I'll sing about it. I'll talk about it. I'll brag on him." When somebody asks me how I'm doing, you say, "I'm doing better than I ought to be," which is what Heath has the tendency to say, "better than I deserve to be." But down deep, you know that you're having a party because what's happening is, you're doing better than you ought to be. You're always doing better than you ought to be. You're sitting right up on top of his shoulders, and he's carrying you through. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'm with you always. You come to me, I won't cast you out. Nothing can separate you from me. All of these promises are yours. No condemnation. I will not impute iniquity to you. Your sins are separated from you as far as the east is from the west. And they're buried in the deepest sea, never to be remembered again." Verses, verses, verses. The more you know, right? The more you know. The Bible says, "For hereunto you were called." He has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light to show forth his praise. Called, called. He's telling you, you're in an unfamiliar territory. And he's saying, "You have lines to shoot from me." What did he do? He's the cornerstone. He suffered. He says he's given you an example that you should follow in his steps. And here's some things he did. First thing he did was he did no sin. What? I know. That's the amazing thing about our Savior. He was the spotless Lamb of God. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." The Bible says, "He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." He not only did no sin, he was the embodiment of righteousness. When he died on the cross, all of that righteousness is available to whosoever will. The Bible says that if you will hunger and thirst after righteousness, guess what? You'll be filled. You won't go away empty. He will see to it that you're filled. The way you're filled is you find Jesus. And when you find Jesus, you find righteousness. The Bible says in verse 23, it says he was reviled. He reviled not again. There was no guile in his words. In verse 22, he would tell you, "They hated me, they're going to hate you." Sometimes they'll put you to death. The Bible says that he had no guile found in his mouth. This is why when he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no part of me. And all of the crowd, the multitudes, walked away. And the disciples were panicking. Wait a minute, we just lost our crowd. This was getting good. Weren't we going to bring in a kingdom? What's going on, Lord? Well, I got deeper things going on than you know about. I need to establish you guys where you are. And I need these people who are mocking me to be put in their place. And I've got all these things. I'm choreographing everything perfectly. You just trust me. He says, but before he gives them all that information, he says, will you also go away? And Peter was dumbfounded with everybody else. But finally, he stumbled upon that nut of truth. He says, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. You're the only way through. You are the map. You are the way. And if you decide that you're going to say things that just kind of freak people out, then we're in with you anyway. We're in for the duration. We've tethered ourselves to your entourage, and we're going to stay. The Bible says he had no guile. He told it like it was. He pulled no punches. He said you might die for your faith. He says, and one day you will physically die. Whether you're saved or whether you're lost, you will physically die. But he says to you and me who are on this side of the cross, he says, I am the resurrection of life. He that lives and believes in me will never die. You say, well, how can that be? Well, because when you close your eyes in death, you immediately wake up in glory to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. What a day that's going to be. You will be gathered. He sent for Lazarus, the beggar, at the gate of Dives, the rich man. And he takes him from that place immediately upon his demise. The angels take him into Abraham's bosom, if you will. And that was the paradise at the time. And so understand that when you and I come down to die, I don't believe it's going to be an angel coming. Because he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Think about that, folks. It makes that death's door a little less icky, right? If you know just on the other side of that door is the one who loved you more than anyone possibly could understand. I had a guy recently and something went sideways and then it all came back together. And he came in and he said something was really cool happened to me. And I said, well, that's yours. That's yours. That's yours. I've got mine. You've got yours. We've got stuff where God was showing up. Isn't that good? It's good to have stuff you know that God was there because it's yours. And all those things, hopefully, if you're tuned up a little bit, you've been struggling or whatever, and you have a moment where you can get yourself clear, you say, Lord, I'm just so sorry, and take him at his word when he says, if you confess, he'll forgive, and you just know everything's in order. You don't need to call a priest for last rites. Jesus is the high priest, and we are told to come boldly to him. So you get your account current with him right now, and you can just rest in the fact that he gave you a promise that whoever shall confess will be forgiven, and that the blood of Christ will cleanse us from all sin. And suddenly you're like, I'm clear. I don't need to be like Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, freaking out that I can't feel the bottom. And man, all my sins flooding back in. Guys, listen, there will probably be some of that. But you can mitigate that by being more and more engaged right now. Get your verses. Get your relationship. Realize he's called you to a life 24/7. It's not just a little now and again. It's not a little dabble do you. It's not 1 hour a week. It's just simply all day, every day. He loves you that much that he gave his life for you. He is God and he gave his life for you. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me, we sing. The Bible says he was reviled and he reviled not again. He's showing us what it looks like. You say, well, this is a tough world. I push back. It's the way I am. Well, it may be the way you are, but you and I need to be getting a little bit less like we were. Somebody said, I ain't what I ought to be, but thank God I ain't what I was. You know, because what I was, you know, I'm getting a little better. Progress, not perfection. He just looks for us to kind of make some progress. Why? Because we're showing grace when we do that. We're showing the world grace. The Bible says when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he didn't threaten. You know, he could have. He could have told Pilate and all these people along the way. He could have told them all. He could have told them all, listen, I'm king. Your day's coming. He just said, I have a kingdom. It's not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, my servants would fight. But that's not how this is going to go. And you'd have no power except to be given to you. So I know that. And so this is what the Father wants, and I'm submitted to that. And he was seeing grace. Pretty soon he was panicking. He said, I need to let him go. And then I see no fault in this man. The lost people saw no fault. The main people, no fault in this man. When he suffered, he threatened not. What did he suffer? Do you remember what he suffered? Do you remember that he was punched in the face and beaten and beard plucked out? And he struck him, tell us who it is, blindfolded. And the Bible says that his face was marred more than any man. I mean, I don't even know how to process that. Because I know this. The Bible does not exaggerate. God tells us the truth. And you and I, sometimes we kind of tone it down in our minds. In fact, the problem with a crucifix is that it's a disservice. What Jesus went through would not have left a pretty picture. And that would have been like a blood splotch right on that cross. And it would not have been good. And so when you get a crucifix, don't wear it. That's a Romanistic thing. They like images. The cross is empty. Okay. Then the only wounds we have now are his hands, his side, his feet, and we will have those to look at when we get there. But his visage will be intact. Everything would be healed up and balm of Gilead everywhere and more. The Bible says he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. And isn't that what he's calling these people to do? Isn't he saying to them, he's called you out of darkness to show forth his praises. It's going to be hard. I know it was tough. If need be, you're in hard times right now and heaviness. He says, but God's there. And he's saying, you know, hope to the end for the grace of God that's going to be brought to you because you're in leanness. You're going to see grace in your own life like you've never seen it before because you're going to really need him, you know, in affluence and in prosperity and everything being in its place. We don't need him as much. And yet all of a sudden, you know, if you need that jet ski to get to the other side of the lake and it just happens to be there and you're going to go help someone. It's like, wow, I never ride this thing, but here it is. Let's go. And it's good. God is good. God is there. Let's go. Amen. We're in it now. And so we need to ride. We need to do what we need to do. We're called for this purpose. The Bible says he committed himself to him that judges righteously. And if you think things are hard, they might be. But the Bible says that our light affliction, which endures but for a moment, works for us a far greater weight of glory. We've had a few people in our congregation that have passed away. And many of us who know them well can remember all of the subtle looks that they had with each other as couples, like Helen and Jim. Helen and Jim. Jim was always a snicker guy. You know, he's like, oh, find a strong chair. He always had a little thing. It was just like anything he would say. It was like these things. Where do you get these witticisms from the South? And you just love to hear them. Guess what? Helen and Jim are together. And it's a good time. And they're just enjoying everything they've ever hoped for, everything they've longed for, everything they lived for. They're together now. You see, if you've lived for eternity, when you get there, it's going to be sweet because you will have thought about it deeply. You would have anticipated and you would remember streets of gold. You would remember the Lamb. You would remember all the saints. You would remember the thrones in the throne room. You're going, where are we going next? It's like going to some big theme park, but it's not a theme park. It's your home. Okay. And everything around every corner just gets better. There's the crystal sea. There's the tree of life. There's God's face to behold, which angels can't even look upon. You and I get to go right up to the top because we're his children. We're his beloved son's bride, if you will. And it's all a celebration forever. Everlasting joy. Coming to a city where it's filled with the spirit of just men made perfect. What a good thing.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.